People have been asking for years for permission to grow industrial hemp in Oregon and other states, but hemp, the non-stoning sister of marijuana, got swept up in the federal prohibition against pot. Now that recreational marijuana is going to become legal in Oregon, the state is also letting farmers get into the hemp business. And even though it is still illegal under federal law, the feds have indicated some leeway from their end as well. We spoke recently with the State Department of Agriculture about the hoops would-be farmers have to jump through. Today's guest jumped through them all to secure the state's first hemp license. Edgar Winters is his name, and he's been all over the media. Busy guy lately. Edgar Winters, thanks for visiting the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me today.
So tell us a bit about yourself. You are a farmer now, correct?
That is correct.
And what do you grow now?
I actually do organic gardening. I do fruits and vegetables.
And I see you go under a couple of different names. I found you under the Oregon Agriculture, Food, and Rural Consortium, under Natural Good Medicines.
My wife and I, we have a couple of businesses. We have a nonprofit organization called Oregon Agricultural, Food, and Rural Consortium. And what that is basically an educational services organization where we do pilot projects, and we have students come in, and we teach them on the new farming techniques of industrial hemp. And we also have a for-profit business called Natural Good Medicines. It's my wife, and we have been doing industrial hemp products for about 12 years now, as far as lotions, salves, shampoos, food, clothing, shelter, and et cetera.
We have had a chance to learn a bit about that process before, but to make anything with hemp in this country, you have to bring in, sterilized seeds or something like that to be able to make this all work?
The sterilized seeds for eating, you mean?
Or for whatever products you're making.
Oh, okay. For seeds, the sterile seeds are strictly for food. Mm-hmm. You use that for food. If they're not sterile, you use that for replanting. Mm-hmm. And I've been given a license to grow for replanting. We can't actually grow for food at present. The legislative did not realize what a high $500 million business food products from hemp seeds are. So they're going back and they're really researching again to add food implement into our industrial hemp products to be able to grow.
So I'm still a little unclear. Have you been growing any actual hemp now? I mean, even though it hasn't been licensed?
No, I have not. I have not at all. I grew it in the past, but I haven't grew it here in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. And what is the people who talk about hemp and wanting to grow hemp rave about its many uses. What is the appeal to you? What fascinates you about hemp?
Well, there are over 25,000 uses of industrial hemp, and there's actually four parts of the plant that is actually processed. That is the fiber, the long fiber that is used for textiles. The inner core of the plant is herds, and that is used for building materials, making dynamite, plastics. The list goes on and on as far as the herds. And then you have the seeds, and the seeds could be used for replanting or they could be used for food. And then you have the fourth product, which will be a mesh-type seed mill, and then we use that for feeding our animals, and we use it also for insulation. And like I say, the list is go on and on and on.
So pretty much everything you could conceive of doing, either for wearing or for construction purposes or for eating. Hemp gets in all those areas.
That's correct.
That's a very versatile plant. Is there anything that you've run across in your years of farming that's quite as versatile as hemp is?
No, there is none. Not on Earth at all. Industrial hemp is the King Kong of all plant life. And there is no other plant on Earth that could value the processes that you can get out of industrial hemp.
Wow, that does a lot of things. So how rigorous was the process of getting a license?
It was like pulling teeth. It was very difficult. The Department of Agriculture was just not aware of all the implications that industrial hemp lies between here and the other 19 states that are planning on growing industrial hemp. So they put forth some rules and regulations and then realized that some of those rules and regulations did not apply to processing and growing industrial hemp. So they're trying to go back and reevaluate it. And at present, we cannot get our seeds. We're having a problem getting our seeds from Canada. We were going to use Canadian seeds since it was so close to us. But they have a breeder's rights on their seed stock. And in Oregon, our 626 bill states that we can grow our seeds for replanting. But the Canadians did not like that idea because they have a breeder's rights and we can only use it for the one season. So we can't replant their seeds because they have a breeder's right to it. So our Canadian seed stock is kindly on hold. I don't foresee us getting any seed stock this planting season from Canadian. So Doug Fine and I are working on trying to get seed stocks from other countries like the European Union.
Where there is some available and without the strings attached that the Canadians have?
Yes, that's correct.
So that's the really interesting thing. So they own the breeding rights, so you could get the seed from them, but then you couldn't replant the seed that came from the plants that grew from those seeds?
That's correct.
Wow. Is agriculture often quite that tricky?
No, not at all. Just with this plant right now, it is very controversial. So you can understand the Canadians' point of view because they've been growing hemp now for 16, 18 years. So they knew eventually at one time America would probably be growing industrial hemp, so they thought they would be able to supply us with their certified seed. There's nothing wrong with their seed stock. It is very good, but they don't grow for fiber. They only grow for food. So it's a little difference for farmers here in America who wants to grow for fiber because you wouldn't really need their seed stock because it would be invaluable for you for fiber. So that's why we're trying to get our seed stock from the EU, European Union. As long as it's certified and as long as it's germinational and as long as it's fresh, the DEA and the Department of Agriculture has no qualms with me actually going out and trying to find those seeds for this year's planting.
It seems like time's of the essence, though. I mean, you're going to be planting probably in, I don't know, April, May?
End of April. First of May is usually when you plant hemp. It's the same thing as planting sweet corn, the same procedures. So, yeah, timing is crucial, and this happened to us last year. We couldn't get the importations of seeds last year on account of this same problem. So eventually the DEA has loosened up on their regulations as long as we follow our state guidelines.
All right, which are obviously a bit tricky to maneuver through as well. We're talking to Edgar Winters, who has the first license to grow hemp under the state of Oregon's new system through the Department of Agriculture. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about industrial hemp and its many, many uses and the process of growing it, which Edgar is getting familiar with. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area, 800-838-3760. Send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org and check us out on Facebook. You can see a picture of Edgar from our studio from a couple of minutes ago. Here's a call from Pam and Dexter. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Edgar Winters.
Hi, well, this is pretty timely because Oregonians for Industrial Hemp Forum last year, and we had our meeting last night, and we recently we worked with Encircle Films in showing the documentary Bringing It Home, which is about, it's about all the uses for hemp, but one of the main thrusts of that film is about hempcrete and how they're building these non-toxic buildings from all over the world that are resistant to mold and pests, and it's a very breathable form of it's kind of mixing with kind of like a concrete but with hemp and blocks, and it's just really exciting. And one of the things we're talking about is, and you're part of our conversation, is growing the hemp just for the seeds, because that's the big problem, is getting the seeds into Oregon to grow for the hemp, and basically growing hemp for the seeds to get them to other farmers to grow. And I just wondered if what your thoughts are, if you've seen the film, and if you could expand a little bit on the building products, because, you know, I also, I'm a busy lady. I went to the 350 Eugene meeting, and Carbon Oregon Climate was there presenting a carbon tax, and I'm keep bringing home the point that we need to save our forests for the carbon they sequester and have alternatives for building and wood products. So that's my main reason for being part of Oregonians for Industrial Hemp up here in Eugene.
Okay. Very busy. Thanks for that, Pam. Appreciate that. So, Edgar, can you kind of tell us about the process?
The building end of the Hemp Creek is a very big business all over the world. Hemp Creek is the center core of the industrial hemp plant, and the herds are used for several things. They're used for composites. People make dynamite out of it. It's good for for so many different applications as far as building materials. You can use it for roofing. You can do sidewalls made out of hempcrete. The list goes on and on and on. It does breathe, like the lady said, it does breathe very well. And it also takes in the CO2 out of the air. So as it's taking out the CO2 out of the air, it actually deposits the CO2 down through the sidewalls of the building, and then it actually deposits it into the ground. And so it actually becomes carbon. So it takes CO2 out of the air, and it will turn it into carbon back into the earth as a viable soil additive.
Huh, so stuck back in the ground where it was for all those years as fossil fuels.
Correct.
That kind of thing. I'm curious to know, when we talk about all the things that can be done with hemp, where you can get construction fibers and clothing and food, I mean, do you have to have slightly different varieties of hemp to be able to do? I mean, in other words, if a plant is good for food, is it not terribly good for the fiber you get from it?
Well, and, yeah, that's basically true. We have several strains, several cultivars in industrial hemp. I think we have 42 on the global market that we can actually purchase those seed stocks. But different strains grow for different parts. So like if you want to grow for fiber, you want to grow a good fiber strain that's going to be tall and lean, and it's going to give you long strands of fiber. If you're growing for food, you'd want a larger seed, because the larger the seed, the more hemp parts are involved with that seed. And I want to clear things up. Industrial hemp seeds is not really a seed. It's called an acines, and it's actually a fruit nut. So it's not really a seed, and that's why we can use it for food products. Now, if you're growing for shelter and things of that nature, you'd want to grow a longer type stalk. But if you're growing for food, you want it to be closer together, and you'll have to apply more cindies in the ground to get more food out of it. So there's several different applications for industrial hemp. It's just according to what the farmer wants to grow for. And like I say, there's four different parts of the plant that can be processed and sold on the market.
Now, is the only difference with marijuana, I mean, can you tell the difference just by looking at them, or is it just a difference of the THC levels?
Well, they are similar in appearance, but that's about as far as it goes. You grow industrial hemp real close together where it doesn't have branches. You want it to grow straight up for the fiber, where marijuana, you want it to have branches. You want it to have areas to grow. So you can actually see the difference.
We have more questions for Edgar Winters. Here is Joe in Springfield. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm having a hard time hearing you, so I'll just make a statement. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the article that came out in the 30s by Popular Mechanics, and it was the first time it came out. It says a billion-dollar crop. And that was just before we had the prohibition on what they called marijuana back then. But everybody was growing it in their backyard. We used it to light our houses. Hemp seed oil was one of the main things that we used. And so I guess what I wanted to say is, in your endeavors of raising this crop, do you have any blowback from the oil companies, such as BP, Shell, and all these guys? Because anything that is made from oil can be made from hemp.
Huh. But, interesting. Okay, thanks for that, Joe. Appreciate it. And your thoughts on this, Edgar?
Well, he's somewhat right on that subject. The oil can be used for biofuel as far as diesel. It burns a lot cleaner. It goes a lot farther. The oil companies back in the 30s did the same thing. They actually outlawed it because it was taking business out of them. They didn't want they wanted to still use their oils from the ground, biofuels, diesels, and carbon fuels. So they didn't want to go to other sources. So yes, they stopped the program pretty much in its tracks just for that one reason alone, because the hearses, the dials, the list goes on and on and on. They were all against industrial hemp because it was going to take their share out of the business ends. So they had the DEA agent at the time, before it was called the DEA, Harry S. Anslinger. He is the one who put the product off the shelf just because he had an associate go into the fields back in the 40s and saw some of the Mexican farmers taking their breaks, and they were all cheerful and laughing and carrying on. And he thought they were actually smoking that industrial hemp. So he went back to the DEA supervisor and said, hey, we've proved our point. We have proved that marijuana and industrial hemp are the same plant. And so he went back and he told Congress that we've proven that marijuana is the same plant as industrial hemp. So that's one of the reasons why we don't have hemp today. So it's taken almost 75 years to reverse that dogma and that stigma that we've had in America for all these years.
We have an email here from Jay. I don't recognize the town he's talking about here, but he says hemp does not need Roundup or tons of food. It's a good plant, grows. It sounds like it's pretty hardy. Is this your recollection of it?
It is a hardy plant. It will actually suppress weeds. So once you grow it, if you grow it real close together, it will suppress all the weeds. You don't need insecticides or pesticides whatsoever on industrial hemp. It grows naturally. It is own has its own inferior components to keep insects and diseases from attacking it.
Edgar Winters, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the holder of the first license to grow industrial hemp under Oregon's new system. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 throughout the listening area. 800-838-3760. Emails to jx@jeffnet.org or check out his picture on Facebook. Here's Michael and Williams. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Edgar Winters.
Hey, thanks, Jeffrey. Thanks, Edgar. Thanks for having me on. Hey, I wanted to bring up the point about cross-pollination. I know that Edgar has talked about it and gotten questioned about it, but there's a real fear out here in the Applegate Valley that the hemp fields are going to cross-pollinate and ruin a lot of the medical cannabis crops that we have out here. And to me, it comes down to an issue of liability, and I wanted to know what Edgar had to say about who's liable if the hemp pollen gets out and ruins a neighbor's medical cannabis crop.
All right, interesting question. Thanks for that, Michael.
It is an interesting question, and it seems like that's all the questions I get when I'm talking about industrial hemp is how are we going to protect it from pollinating our medical marijuana programs here in the state? And I come back again. There's been several reports and documentations showing the viability of cross-pollination between the two cannabises. I really want to talk more about industrial hemp, but I do say that they don't really have a fear as much as they think they do because pollen travels. We don't know how pollen really travels in the world because all pollination is a wind pollen situation, so it can travel long distances. But one thing about industrial hemp pollen, that after 72 hours, once it is actually pollinated, it only takes about 72 hours, and then the pollen content goes down 92%. And also, people don't realize that industrial hemp only takes 90 to 120 days to mature once it's grown outdoors. Medical marijuana, it takes, if you grow it outdoors and if you do good farming practices and you do grow it outdoors, by the time the industrial hemp has already been pollinated, the marijuana has not even been open for susception for pollen. So it's a timing issue. It's strictly a timing issue. And I would like to get all our medical marijuana farmers to realize that if you do good farming practices, the pollen will not be a big problem at all.
So you're saying when the hemp pollen is out there, A, it is not there for very long, 72 hours. B, it is not going to be out there at the same time that the marijuana plants are susceptible to pollination.
That's correct. If you use good farming practices. Now, if you're an indoor grower and you've been growing your medical marijuana indoors, and then all of a sudden you decide you want to put it outdoors to get the sun, to get it at the area that you want it in, of course you might have a problem with that. But if you use good farming practices, and we suggest that all farmers, whatever they're growing, use good farming practices. And if we do, we can coincide with one another. And I would be more than happy to give out some of those documentations if they email me. I'll be sure I'll try to get those back to them.
Now, Michael was calling from Williams. You mentioned the Applegate Valley. Now, you do live in Eagle Point, but the actual hemp farm you're talking about is in the Applegate Valley?
That is correct.
How many acres?
25.
Is there anything close in the way of, is there a medical marijuana operation nearby?
Oh, I'm sure there are. It's all through the Applegate Valley. But trouble is, most of the growers in the Applegate Valley are upwind of where the pollen will be in the industrial hemp, because we're down in the very valley. Most of the growers are up in the mountains, and pollen does not travel upwind very good. So they're not having to worry too much about that. But in turn, I want to also emphasize that medical marijuana growers can also cross-pollinate my industrial hemp. And once that pollen gets into my industrial hemp, my THC level is way off the charts, more than the state regulations says, at 0.03%. So it works both ways. It's not only the hemp coming in to pollinate the marijuana, but the marijuana can also pollinate my hemp crop as well. And then
it's not industrial hemp, it's marijuana.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it's considered that. And so the State Department has to destroy my crop. So if I get pollinated by a medical marijuana, I have no repercussions to go back on. I lose my crop. At least with the medical marijuana, it can still be used in some fashion or form, because our state regulations does not address that issue.
Another call here from Mark in Redding. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Edgar Winters.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
Is there any commercial use for pollen of industrial hemp?
Yes, there is. Industrial hemp pollen is used in a lot of the agricultural crops that we have throughout America today. I'll give you one, for instance, like sugar beets. Hemp pollen is used on sugar beets to keep other cross-pollinations from coming into to their pixels and pollinating their beets. So hemp pollen can be used in several applications.
Now, I'm curious about implements and tools and things like that, because the picture we snagged for our website was from an industrial hemp operation in France, and they were using big old harvesters. It looked like they were taking in the wheat crop or something. I mean, can you use implements that you use for other stuff? Is there anything that's specialized about what you have to use to cultivate hemp?
Well, that question is a two-part. Yes, we can use some of our existing implements that we have for our tractors now as far as combines. Our combines can actually collect the seed stock. But there is specialized equipment throughout Europe, and they use these large industrial hemp machineries, as you see, because you have to realize they're planting anywhere from 300 to 1,000 acres of industrial hemp. So you've got to have a larger implement to gather that. Here in Oregon, we're on a pilot project. We're not here to commercialize all of our industrial hemp this first year. We're here to learn about the plant. And everybody's getting so upset about we're going to be using this for this, for that. But it's more on an experimental basis for the first couple of years here in Oregon. And then we'll have a more viable documentation of how it presents in here in the state.
We'll check back with you at the end of the season. You've been quite the media man since the news of the license came out. Edgar Winters holds the first license for industrial hemp in Oregon. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.